Our message this morning is a very, very simple one. But as we contemplate that second candle, it's good for us to consider peace. And so first of all, I want to define what peace might be, what we might think of when we think of the word peace. More and more in our American society, there is no peace. Every time I turn on the TV, the news is about divisions and antagonism. If I look for entertainment, I'll find a war movie, or a police movie, or a murder movie. If I look for a game, electronic games on my computer, whatever, the ones that are getting the most exposure are violent. Even the Hallmark Channel on TV, it always ends in the guy and the girl getting together. But in between there's a murder or some sort of terrible disconnect. Alcoholism, drug addiction, they permeate our societies. More and more, there is no peace. Suicide made the top 10 list of causes of death in the United States in 2019. Why? We could go into all kinds of things that we ought to do, legislation, laws, rules to make, get rid of guns, outlaw drugs, outlaw alcohol. You remember prohibition and how that went. You see, laws don't work. They only work for those that are going to follow them. You can't legislate righteousness or peace. But the answer is really extremely simple. We have abandoned the Prince of Peace and done our best to eliminate his influence in our lives and our society. When we were kids, we older ones, it was very subtle. Now it's become very overt. You can't stand up in public and say I'm a Christian without overt antagonism and challenges. You can't follow the ways of the Bible and the laws of God without being challenged in many cases. We have abandoned the Prince of Peace. When the angels pronounced Jesus' birth to the shepherds in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, their message was very clear. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Two things come out of that. First, give glory to God. How in our society do we give glory to God? As opposed to how do we turn our backs on him? Deny him? Purposely go against his will? And just let it go. Give glory to God, number one. And then, number two, enjoy his favor. enjoy His favor. So how do you get God's favor? What does it take? Well, first, let's go back to this definition of peace. It might be, then, a definition of how we would see God's favor. The next slide here. I went and I looked up peace. It says tranquility. And it lists all of these different things that maybe are synonyms or very similar. How we would think of peace. And as you read through those things, perhaps it'll occur to you that peace is not just a physical thing. Oh, it is physical. But so often, probably more than physical, it's a state of mind. It is how we perceive our well-being. People say, when you retire, what is the one thing? I've been asked this a couple times. What is the one thing that you're going to enjoy the most? And I say, well, there are actually three things. I won't be living on a highway. I won't have the fire whistle in the backyard. And I won't have a train two blocks back. Quiet. Sure. That's one thing that I look forward to, that peace, that quiet. And I'll be able to go to bed and I don't have to worry about that pager going off. Peace, quiet. Nothing saying, here I am, listen to me. But how do you achieve that really, the real peace and quiet, the peace that is God's favor? Jesus said this, I've told you these things, and I don't think he's talking about just the things he just said. I think that it refers to everything that he taught. I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Then he destroys that thought. Oh, wow, you know. He says, in this world you will have trouble. And then he gives it back and he said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. But, did you hear that? He said, you're going to have trouble. Let me submit to you, one of the biggest problems that we have in the United States today is a whole generation or two or maybe even three that don't know what real trouble is. And so they don't understand how good they've really got it. Trouble points out peace. When you overcome that trouble, you know how valuable that victory is. And so there is trouble in the world. And we perceive things as trouble that are just normal. Every one of us is going to die sometime. Every one of us has experienced death in our friends and family. We perceive that as trouble. And for many people, it is. Jesus said, broad is the path of those that go to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. And so death, for many, is trouble. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. And they're going where they're going. But for some who live in Jesus, death is just one little bump in the road, like many other troubles. Makes you appreciate what you have, but they're going on to a better place. And you hear that lots of times at Awake. Well, he's in a better place now. And many times I'll just drop my head. And I'll think, I wish that were true. But in this case, I'm pretty sure it isn't. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. So some troubles, they're just going to be there. They're going to come. Jesus didn't promise you no troubles. Matter of fact, Jesus promised persecution. And if you're not persecuted for righteousness' sake, maybe you need to look in the mirror and say, what's going on in my life? Am I not living the way I ought to? That I'm not attracting those people that want to make it rough for me? You know, since I've been in the ministry, I've noticed over and over and over again that when you think you have a victory, and this is not just in the church, this is in personal life, when you draw close to God and you start to see success in living the life of Christ, that's when things really get tough. And people, even the ones you think are your friends, sometimes are used by the devil to make it hard for you. You see, when Jesus said there's going to be troubles, that's reality. But he said, I've overcome that. Paul and Silas were in Philippi. That's in what is now Greece. And they were ministering there. And the people seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And they brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Think about that. Dragged in front of the leaders, beaten with rods, thrown into prison, locked up in stocks, so you can't move around much. Can't even stretch those sore muscles that have been beaten. And Paul and Silas are praying out loud and singing hymns, praise to God, so that the other prisoners can hear them. Did Paul and Silas have trouble? You bet they had trouble. But they praised God. They didn't just curl up and be quiet. Paul wrote to these Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, did you catch that? The peace that transcends all understanding. Paul is saying, hey, you don't have to understand it. You probably won't understand it. But it comes from Jesus, that peace. It's a way of life. You start to live it. You don't need to be smart. You don't need to be educated. You don't need to be talented. But you have to be humble enough to say, yeah, I can't figure it out. I can't make it happen. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. I can't generate it. peace comes from Jesus, the Prince of Peace. It starts and it ends with Jesus. He said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know the Father as well." Like I said, it starts and it ends with Jesus. Period. That's it. You leave him out, don't be thinking you're going to have any real peace. Did you notice what he said? "I am the way." The way is the way we live. It's a way of life. When you come to Jesus, you begin to live his way. And when you say, "Boy, I'd like to do this, and Jesus wants me to do this," forget it. You know, I'm going to do what Jesus wants. It's hardly a decision. You got that ball game on Sunday morning? Yeah, I'm going to church because that's my witness. I can find out what happened at the game. And yeah, I'm not going to stand up and cheer in church. Oh, by the way, why not? Just as important, isn't it? Okay, but we go about things in a different way. But Jesus said, "I am the way." And he said, "the life." In other words, and we've talked about this before, you don't have life if you don't have Jesus. That connection between you, your spirit, and God is life. When you, your spirit, is separated from your body, we call that death, physical death. When your spirit is disconnected from God, that is spiritual death. But when you're connected to God through Jesus, that is life. So Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the life." And he said, "I am the truth." Now, if Jesus is not the truth, if what he says is not true, if this, the word of God, is not true, then we haven't got a chance. There is nothing else except eternal condemnation. That's just the way it is. Peter said this, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." I get at least two major thoughts from that passage. The first is action. Seek peace and pursue it. You see, peace requires work. It's not just something, "Oh, fill me with it and I'll be done." Be nice if it were. And once in a while, God will do that to you. But usually, you got to be out there making choices. What's the best way to go here? If we want to get along well, how do we make that happen? You know, in this community, you get mad with somebody, first thing you do is yell at them. Second thing you do is hit them. Third thing you do is call the police. That's how fast it escalates. I'm in the fire department, I carry a radio, and I hear a lot of these police calls. Seek peace. Pursue it. You don't have to go that way. You can look for a better way. How do we get along? And look down the road. Before you get into a relationship, is this person capable of being what I need? And am I capable of being what this person needs? Are we going to do a one-night stand and then that's going to result in problems for the rest of our life? You see, God says, seek peace and pursue it. Don't be distracted. Don't be defeated. It's a worthy goal. But the second part of that passage says, God is against those who do evil. If you listened to the prayer that I prayed earlier, how can you afford to have God against you? Awesome. Creator. The one who promises that you will go where you don't want to go if you don't straighten out. How do you dare not seek peace and pursue it? Because God is against those who do evil. You do evil, you haven't got a chance of winning. So, the first two candles, hope and peace. Do you hope for peace? Let me challenge you this season to come to Jesus, to explore His will and His way, to pursue the peace that He offers when we accept the everlasting protection and forgiveness of Almighty Creator. God, accept as your Lord this Prince of Peace, Jesus.